We have come to your house this morning to see you, Lord, to hear from you, because the world is falling apart, Lord. We want to be at your bosom. We want your spirit. Come, Lord. Forgive us our sins and just speak to us. Speak to everybody this morning, Lord. We are humbly before you this morning. We commit our dear brother whom you are going to speak through. Forgive him his sins, Lord. We want to see you in reality. Come and speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You can please have your seat. This morning, we're in continuation of the topic we're talking about, marriage and divorce. And we are still on courtship. And we are talking about godly character, like I made mention of in past classes and also last Sunday, that we've heard many times where the prophet said, don't marry beauty, marry character. And we want to go deep into that word a little bit of what exactly is character. Last Sunday, I talked a little bit on character on the end of the women, and I don't want to be one-sided, so I want to talk about character on the end of the men this morning. And if you are writing down the scriptures or the quotes I'm reading from, probably have to take your pen and be fast, because I'm going to be a little bit fast this morning. Yeah, the first one I'm going to read from is from the sermon, We Would See Jesus. Remember, we're talking about character on the end of the men. But Abraham said here, you never judge a man by how big his hands is and how wide his shoulders is. He said, I've heard them say, oh, isn't he a man? I've seen men that weighed 200 pounds and didn't have any ounce of man in him. So to be a man is not how big your shoulders is, or your arms, or your muscles. Even as we go, there's a quote where he says, even not by your biceps. He said, that's right. You don't measure a man by his size. He said, that's brute. You measure him by his character. Now, what is this character? Let's go ahead. There never was a greater character man than Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, a mule stouter than any man or an elephant. So that would be, you'll be a brute. But a man is not how big a muscle he got. I don't measure him by that, but how the bags is in the knees of his trousers where he's been praying. Amen. Did you get that? A man that is a real man must have a through-like connection in prayer with Jesus Christ. Amen. You say you don't measure a man by his size, but measure on his knees. Yeah. You say that's how a man should be measured by character. And it's some power of transformation. He said, I think character as measured by man, not by the muscles on his arms or by the callousness in his hands, but the bag in the knees of his trousers where he's prayed, I think that's what makes a man. You see, even before you go into marriage, there's something that is sure you must pray and pray true. You must pray for God's leadership. You must pray for God's divine will. Like I said in past lessons, that on either side, it's a choice. The man has a choice to make to approach. The woman has a choice to accept or reject. But before any of those steps is being taken, whether to approach or to accept or reject, the individual involved must have prayed and prayed through. You don't make those decisions by what you see with your eyes. You make those decisions by God leading you. And when God leads, it leads to the best. Are you getting me now? Absolute. Brother Abraham said, man is not measured by how much his biceps are. There you go. A man is not measured by how much his biceps are. How big a muscle is. He is measured by character. That's exactly right. And character comes from the word of God and that alone. And any preacher that claims to be a preacher and deny that word, there's little character of God in there to me. You see, maybe some hopes if you will listen a while. I don't want to get critical with you. I love you and I mean that. But that's my absolute brethren, this word. Thus hear the Lord and you know it's true. In the same expectancy, a man is not judged by stature. A man is not judged by him being a six-footer. That's one of the things people look at. Oh, he's a six-footer. You don't judge by that. He's judged by character. I've seen men that weigh 200 pounds and didn't have an ounce of man in him. He will ravish a mother with a baby in her hand. A man is judged by character, what he is inside. And in the seven church ages, in Smyrna church age, Brother Bram went further and he told us, they say, why does he stand by? He said the reason is in Romans chapter 8, verse 17 to 18. He said, and if the children then heirs of God and joint heir with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, then we may also be glorified together. So for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And this is what the prophet said, and I want us to follow this. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this, are you all with me? The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Character is never made without suffering. Character is a victory and not a gift. Do you understand that? And I want to believe I'm talking to a mature audience this morning. Character is a victory. How do you get victory? You must have fought. You don't get victory by sleeping on your bed. You see what I'm saying? There must be some battles that you fought and you've come out victorious. So character is not a gift. It's a victory. A man without character can't reign because power, apart from character, is satanic. Do you get that this morning? I pray God we plant this in our hearts for us to know that these things are very important. It's not just enough to say, oh, I'm the man of the house. It's not just enough to say, you know, the Bible says I'm the head. That's not character. Character is not a gift. It's a victory. And before you get victory, you must have fought and come out victorious. So you see, character is not in muscles now. It's in the word of God and in prayers. But we find many men today can't not even pray. How do you expect to be victorious? That's when we come to prayer service. We can't pray. You're waiting for the preacher to pray for you. I hope I'm not hurting you this morning. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. The prophet said, a man without character can't reign because power apart from character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. So to our young sisters, and we as parents, let's teach our children. When you are going out with that boy, watch out. When you guys go to a restaurant to eat, is he ashamed to pray? Amen. I'm coming down, you know. I'm coming down. Watch out for those things. Does it take you to a very good restaurant and just sit down and order food and then start eating? A Christian is not ashamed to pray anywhere. It should be part and parcel of our life. Before you put anything in your mouth, give thanks. But some people can pray in the house though, but they are ashamed to pray outside. And the Bible says, if you are ashamed of me, I will be. It said here, and since he wants us to share even his throne on the same basis that he overcame and is set down in his father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. And the little temporary sufferings we go through is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when he comes. So what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation? In the sermon, hear ye him. But Abraham said, man is not measured by muscles. He said, that's a beast. A man is measured by character. He goes again, he said, I've seen men that weigh 200 pounds and all the muscles, and they didn't have an ounce of man in him. Who do you want to get married to? A man that weighs 200 pounds and there's no ounce of man in him, or a man that has character in him? I will say one more thing again this morning. Say the word of God is given to us to guide us. If you follow God's word, you are sure to come out successful. But the problem we have is that sometimes we think we are smarter than God. God's word is not meant to appease to your goodwill. God's word is meant to lead and guide you. The reason why we find many people today fall along the wayside is because they neglected God's word somewhere. So parents, let us teach our children. Listen. He said, a man is character. There never was a man like Jesus Christ. But the Bible said that there was no beauty that we should desire him. You see that? No beauty that we should desire him. Today we find men spend more time on their looks than on their knees. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you should look dirty. I don't believe in looking dirty. You see, probably a little bitty fellow stoop in the shoulder or something. We all hide as it was our faces from him. There never was character like that. Are you getting me this morning? Never was character like Jesus. What? He said, that's what real man is. Did you get that? That is what a real man is. A man with character. A man that will respect the word of God. A man that will be on his knees and be in prayers. Not a man that puts his job first before God. Ooh. Not a man that pays value on material things. You know, Brother Miriam, I've got to work. I've got to put some money off in the bank. And then you forget God. What kind of a man are you? Then what happens when that job gets off your hands? You've got to have somebody. To be a man is not just to scream. You've got people under you. You've got the soul of your wife under you. You've got the soul of your children under you. You must be able to lead them in the right path. Amen. What kind of a man are you going to be when you have a family and there is no family all the time in your homes? Oh, Brother Mary, you said that. Yes, sir. No family altar in your homes. You can't even set your wife right by the word. The prophet is not quite about that. Listen, in a sermon, believe from the heart. He said, and in noticing them, then I come to this conclusion. No matter what you are, God's got to furnish the audience. And no matter if I could stand here this morning and bring the dead to life and bring the cripples to their normal condition, and yet God is not in the program, it would go nowhere. God has got to be in the program. You see why we need him in our life? You, no matter how successful you are, without God, it's worthless. No matter the amount of houses you have, your bank account is full, or who your station in life, without Christ, it's worthless. That is why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Church, it is important. Let us teach our children. God has got to be in the program. He said, his character, listen, church, his character is known by his works. Character is known by his works. No matter who he is, his works prove his character. The fruit that the tree bears tell you the life that is in that fruit. If you take a man, no matter how good he tries to be, if his works are evil, all his goodness won't amount to nothing. I'm reading from the sermon, Believe from the Heart. And a man's word is his characteristic. A man that his word is no good, then you will never have confidence in that man. Young sisters, watch that. A man that his word is no good. He tells you something today and it's something else. And many people sometimes, because of the physical appearance or the things of life that you see, you think you can change him. You cannot change a man. It's only God that can change a man. He said, you never have confidence in that man because his word is no good. So therefore, God, our Father, his character and his works prove what he is. In his sermon, Jehovah of Miracles, he said, Mary slips back into the house, picks up a scroll, and brings it out to their usual Sunday afternoon Bible study. And it happened to be this day, we say, that she brought out the scroll of Isaiah. And as Joseph took the scroll and opened it, he began to read the scroll to Mary and to comment. When you are in courtship, if you are spiritually minded, that is the time for you to know the man's spiritual condition and the woman's spiritual condition. This is an adult class, so I'm going to go a step further. But we fail that many times because we are carried away with lust. We don't see those things there. We see a beautiful lady. We see a handsome guy. We say, oh, that's what we see at that time. At that time, you don't mind when he tells you, I'm not going to church today. You don't mind. He's showing you right there what he's made up of. Look at what the prophet said here. Mary brought out the scroll to their usual Sunday Bible study. And Joseph took the scroll and opened it and began to read the scroll to Mary and to comment. Joseph was now explaining the scroll to Mary. The man you are going out with, the young boy, can he explain the scripture? Is he in Christ to even know anything about Christ to tell you? Amen. Finally, he comes to the place of Isaiah 9:6, where he says something like this: unto us a child is given, unto us a son, And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And while he was reading, he heard a sigh. He looked sideways, and the little lady, sweetheart of his, her little face had flashed up, and his eyes was glittering like the stars on the dark night. And he said, "Read that again, dear." And he read it again, and she must have said, "Oh, who will that be? What is the prophet talking of?" You know what the prophet said? When you're talking about Jesus, you know what happens? He shows up. When you're talking about Jesus, he shows up. This is Mary. He asked Joseph, who could that be? What was the prophet talking about? They were having a nice time in the Bible study. Their nice time was not only in the restaurant. But sometimes we get too carried away because we are Americans. We eat too much. The only time we can go on a date is on a restaurant. Listen. And he says something like this, or would have said, the prophet was speaking of the Messiah which will come. So Joseph knew something. He knew something. His girlfriend, his lady, just asked him, what could the prophet be talking about here? What's his response? The prophet must have been talking about the Messiah which is to come. And one of our women someday will bear the Messiah. That scripture seemed to grip the little virgin, and she could not just get away from it. In the sermon on failing realities of God, I have to push fast this morning. He said, I seen a man going down the street yesterday. I was going downtown for something, and there I seen man after man walking down the street with his young pretty wife with little old clothes on, looked terrible. That is not a man. Did you get that? Did you get that? He said he went down the street the previous day, and he saw men, not even one after the other, going down the street, maybe with their fiancé, their girlfriend, their wife. And the women look horrible. He said, that is not a man. You know what he called them? God bless you, my sister. I like when you respond back when I ask questions. He said, that is a sissy. Unfailing realities of God. Is anybody would let his wife dress like that? It's not much of a man. He may have muscles like. So that's a brute, that's an animal. A man is character. Remember, I said character. A man is not known by his muscles. It's known by character. And we find that there's never a man on earth that has character like Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the greatest man that ever lived. He was just a little bitty guy with was no beauty. We should desire him. But there never was a character ever presented on earth like Jesus Christ. God of this evil age, how could you, a lady, knowing how sacred your body is, and expose it out there to these lustful, sinful devils that walk the street of this day? If sons of God was all still sons of God, your husband was a son of God, he would that make you put on clothes or leave you? Did you get that? If a boy was a son of God, he will never marry such a thing. Brothers, the woman you marry shows who you are. It shows what is inside of you. You say, you are mistaken. No, I'm telling you the truth. And someday, you will meet it. He said, oh, you might say, I swear that I never trespass the vows of my husband. Your husband will judge you for it if you did. But God will judge you by what kind of a spirit you got in you. Not judge you by your body, but by your spirit, that inner man. You say, I'm on life. You say, oh, you are awful hard on us, women. All right, men, here you are. Any man that let his wife wear them kind of clothes and smoke cigarettes, that shows what you are made out of. I got little respect for you being a man. You're supposed to be the head of the house. You are supposed to be the head of the house. What happened? Something went wrong. In the sermon, Be Certain of God, I got little respect for a man who let his wife do a thing like that. Smoke cigarettes, drink whiskey, wear those kind of clothes. A man is not measured by how big his muscles got. He's measured by the bag of knees in his pants where he prays. Man is not measured by muscles. That's a beast. He's measured by character. There never was a greater man than Jesus Christ. I will find also, if you give me a little bit of time, we go in this. We find also a real man, a man that is a man, that is a real man, does he find it hard to say, I'm sorry, if he did something wrong? And I'm not talking about a sarcastical apology. I'm talking about apology meant from the heart. When you realize you've wronged your wife or the girl you are proposed to, you're going to marry, or even if you've not even proposed yet, the girl you are dating, if you realize you did something wrong, a real man, a man that has character, which is Christ in him, will not find it hard to say, my dear, I apologize. I'm sorry. But we find some people cannot apologize. Some people, it's not in their dictionary. Some people, they can't tell you they're sorry. They can't tell you please. They can't tell you they're sorry. You know why? Do you know why? Because they're not born again. Let's just lay it out flat. Because when one is born again, and he realized that he offended someone, it's Christianly to say, my brother, my dear, what? I'm sorry. And you know this story in the Simon paradox. We've gone through that in this class. I'm not going to go through it again this morning. Where the young man could not just say, he's sorry. And it was in the gene. Do you remember that story? You see why you need God in your life? Because when God comes in, he breaks all those natural genes. Each and every one of us sitting here today, from the person standing here to the last person in that place, we all have natural genes. And any unchristian-like genes, the Holy Ghost breaks it off of us. That is why you need the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, you marry with your natural genes. Remember, she has her genes too. You have your genes too. And those two genes come together, more or less like Satan in the family, fighting every day, fusing every day. You know where Satan is in the home? Everything in the home suffers. Have you ever thought about that? When Satan is in the home, everything in the home suffers. Because when that anger comes, it might be the cops. All the cups just got broken for nothing because Satan is in the home. It might be a chair. Sometimes I've heard microwave. I'm not being funny. I've heard microwave sometimes. I've been pulled out of the wall and been slammed. The microwave was minding his business. But Satan came in the home and the microwave is destroyed. But when Jesus is in the home, oh my, his peace, his love, his harmony. Don't get me wrong. It's not as if there won't be problems. Problems will come, but guess who is master of all problems? Jesus. And he's in the home. He'll take care of it. In the sermon, Mighty Conqueror. He said many times that people judge people by the way they dress or by their stature. A man is not judged by how big he is or how strong his muscles. Man is judged by character and character alone. I've seen men that weigh 200 pounds and didn't have an ounce of man about them. So man is judged by character. What is in his heart? And Christ was not judged by physical strength, but he was judged by character. And never a man ever lived like him. Or never a man could ever die like him. Never a man could ascend up high like him. Because why? He was God. I am no man. He made of himself no reputation. Did you ever think the man that made an artificial eye made a reputation? The man that made the false teeth made a reputation? The man that made the wooden arm made a reputation for himself? But the man who made the original, he made no reputation for himself. But he became a servant, a bondsman unto men who were sinners, that he might win them back to himself. The death of Christ was for a purpose. But my prayer this morning is that that purpose will not be defeated in our lives. In the sermon expectancy, you see, here it is. A man or a woman who really tries to live a Christian life and abstain from the things of the world backs off and says they are fanatic. Do you understand that? That is what the world of today has become. The things that were called wrong in the time of our forefathers today are being approved. The thing that our forefathers held righteous today are being called fanatics. See, a man or a woman who really tries to live a Christian life and abstain from things of the world backs off and says they are fanatic. Every man that tries to trust God, his fellow man will call him a goody-goody or a sissy or something like that. I don't judge man by the callous in his hands. Is the bag of the knee in his pants, whether he bows and prays or not, a man is not judged by stature. He's judged by character. I've seen men that weigh 200 pounds and no iota of man in them. In the sermon, Shalom, there seems to be something among men. Men don't seem to be or have that masculine touch that they used to have. Did you get that? In them days, when you shake the hands of a man, you know you shake the hands of a man. Even when you are blind, you can differentiate a man from a woman. Not today. Women don't have that feminine touch they used to have. You take men today, men don't seem to be body like they used to be. They want to wear suede shoes with purple. I'm wearing purple this morning, right? Maybe if I've taken note of this quote, I won't have worn purple. They wear suede shoes with purple and they want to act like women. Now, that is true. It seems to be more or less like a perversion. And that is one thing we as parents need to watch out on our boys. We need to watch that out on our boys. A woman wants to cut her hair and act like a man. And a man wants to act like a woman. And yet you can talk to them. And they are nice people to talk to. Nice people, friendly, social people. What caused that? Gross darkness upon the people that pressed them into it. Now, in question and answers, we'll take this and I believe time will be gone. He said, Brother Abraham, the Bible tells us that a wife should obey her husband. I am a Christian and my husband is a sinner. He persecutes me in every way he can. And for me not to go to church and read my Bible and denies the word, what should I do? What should you do? Now listen, you are supposed to obey your husband. That's what the word says. Now, if he tells you and refuses you to read the Bible, go to church, or something like that, you have to choose between your husband and God. Follow me, we're coming to something. Because he said, he won't forsake his father, mother, husband, wife, or whatever it is, and follow me, is not worthy of mine. That's what the scripture says. And let me say this. It is not an excuse because your husband is not a believer for you to disrespect him. He is your husband and he is your head. Now, when it comes to your duties as a wife, you've got to do that 100%. But when your husband is now saying, don't serve God, as a man, he is crossing boundary. Are you getting me? He is crossing boundary. That is when you now have to take a chance, a decision for Jesus. And don't do it stubbornly. Do it in love. And in prayers, we find in the Bible what happened to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was not for Jesus. Zacchaeus had in mind about Jesus. Let me say it in plain terms. He was not a fan of Jesus. But his wife was. But what did the wife do? She talked to him as a wife with respect. Are you following me? She talked with respect. And when she's done, she goes on her knees and cries to God. Trust me, church. There is no prayer of a child of God that falls on deaf ears. What we need to do is just only believe all things are possible. Zacchaeus' wife kept on praying. There came a day Jesus was to come through the city. She went and told him, that my pastor I told you of is coming to the city. You want to go see him? She knows his mind about Jesus. Maybe Zacchaeus have given her that look. Are you serious? You know I don't I'm not for that man. She was not discouraged. She went to prayers. Right then, prayers started working. You could see Zacchaeus was just restless that night. The very day Jesus was to come by, he couldn't sleep that night. He was restless. Prayers working. But he couldn't tell his wife, you know what? I will go check him out. He couldn't tell him. He couldn't tell her. He tiptoed so that he doesn't disturb her. Took a shower. Put on his best because he wanted to give Jesus a piece of his mind. He wore his best and he went the way. When Rebecca saw him, she said, oh God, thank you. As he go, touch him. Prayer still followed. When Zacchaeus got to the street, Jesus was to pass. He realized it was a short man. See, church, I pray that God open our eyes for us to know the effect and power of prayer. Amen. Zacchaeus got there, realized it was a short man. He can't see Jesus. You know what he did?
with his best clothes, he had to go grab a trash can to climb a tree. What does that tell you? Jesus doesn't care about your position in life, your society, what you belong to, the clothes you wear. He doesn't care about that. When your time comes, he calls your name. And right there, when Jesus got under the tree, I'm rushing because of time, Jesus stopped right there. Under the tree, he looked up. My guy, come down. How did he know that he was there? The wife has been talking to him about him. When you go on your knees and pray, you're not talking to the air. You're talking to a living God. And he still answers prayers. Is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Shall we rise on our feet? Brother Tim, please close us in prayers.
Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we love your word. Lord, let us not ever go away from it, O Lord, and the revelation of it. Lord Jesus is life to us. And Lord, these words, O Father, that the prophets spoke, O Lord, these words that came from the scriptures and things, O Lord, let us take it into our hearts, O Father. O Lord, and let our children know, O Lord, yes, what Lord. Is right, what yes, is wrong, Lord. O Father, yes, to keep Lord. Them in the way, O Father. Lord Jesus, the value of prayer in yes. our life, O Lord Jesus, how powerful it is if we could just do it more often as the scripture says and what the Lord wants us to do.
Yes, Father.
O Lord, let it become a reality yes, in our Lord life, Jesus. O Father. Lord Jesus, bless the service that's coming, O service, O Father. Lord, let you receive all glory
yes,
honor. In thy name, Lord Jesus, we pray.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.